on 1116 SEN. Crunch Time. Voted 4 times most outstanding radio show for Ringwood Mazda. When it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal.
Here's LeCraft over the goal square. It might sit up here for Kennedy doing the roving. Another goal, West Coast. Dustin Martin takes on the intercept. He keeps rolling with it to 45 and puts it through. And then knew he's going to get there and kick it off the ground for a goal. Miles going to handball away. Rance is just going to hold up here. They're coming forward. Cripps onto the boot. He's kicked the goal.
Now Martin's got going. He shapes this kick in the most peculiar but yet brilliant fashion. From outside 50, it bounces through.
Patrick Hooley under the pump. Elliot Yo throws it onto his boot. He's got it.
Cotchin, handball to Martin. Still looks the most likely. No mark. Oh, McGovern. Rebound in the right spot. This time, he capitalises and collects the high five. Darling will start his run from inside the centre square. He'll skip through that mark. He'll get to the 50. He'll release the kick from 47. And he'll go back and admire his own work as it sails through. Siren about to sound here at the MCG. The Eagles lead by 20 points. Richmond's run has come to an end. And now we ask the question again about the West Coast Eagles in 2015. Do you believe now, after that, a win at the MCG against one of the other contenders is a mighty victory indeed for the Eagles from the West?
We just want to improve from last year, to be honest. We won 11 games, so that's our goal, to get past that. We finished off a good block. We're still developing and we've still got some improvement to go. And we're going to get exposed at some stage and we're going to learn some valuable lessons as we go, but we just want to improve and keep developing our list. So until we do that, get past those 11 games, I'll start worrying about the finals once we qualify, I suppose.
Adam Simpson may not be getting too excited, but the rest of the football world is finally starting to believe in the Eagles. They've got the weapons and the system, so how far can they go?
It's just a blip. You know, we're very confident with where we're going. You know, we know we've got a lot of improvement in us. We had, you know, some guys that played some good footy, but a lot of players down from our point of view, so we're looking forward to the challenge next Friday night up in Sydney.
The Tigers go down, but get an off-field victory with the re-signing of Alex Rance for 4 years. We'll get the inside word from the Tigers and speak to the skipper.
Certainly, Stephen Trigg and I will play an active role behind the scenes, really before the candidates get to that selection panel. But it's been certainly some time, if not at all, that a real process has been followed. So we feel with this excellent process and certainly outstanding committee that we'll choose the best candidate possible.
The hunt for the Blues' next coach is cranking up. Stephen Trigg, the Carlton CEO, will join us as we look at what they need to take them forward.
I'm really comfortable with where things are at. People won't be happy hearing that answer, but you know, it's not something that I'm going to be rushed into at this stage.
You obviously want to know where the club's going and the direction of it, so definitely part of it, but it goes back to my footy again. I've got to play some good footy.
You know, unfortunately, they're going to have to reconstruct his ankle, you know, which is disappointing.
Sometimes there's a little bit of confusion, who's the ruckman, and you're screening out the third jumper and you'll get pinned. So I think you just need some clarity on that.
I reckon if you go down to 80, you'll see more of that. Teams and coaches will find ways to take time off the clock. And my worry is that it will spoil the game as an aesthetic value.
In the crunch, we'll ask all the questions that matter on and off the field. Just how good is Patrick Dangerfield? The AFL coach who says that reducing the interchange cap may hurt the look of the game. We'll rate the teams having a bye and have a look at the confusion surrounding the third man up and head high decisions. All that and more. And of course, in the Saturday spotlight, we ask, has Clarko done it again? It's another big edition of Crunch Time with thanks to Ringwood Mazda, because when it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal. Welcome everyone once again to Crunch Time with thanks to Ringwood Mazda. When it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal. A beautiful day in Sydney where Derm and I greet you from, looking over Spotless Stadium. Massive afternoon ahead for North Melbourne and for the beleaguered Giants. We'll ask later on whether the injuries have crueled their chances of making finals or not. Of course, first and foremost, we'll discuss last night and the news today, the good news out of the Tigers. Just want to mention quickly at Ringwood Mazda, 42 factory demo cars have arrived. They're cars that are mostly driven by the executives at Mazda head office, and they've got some deals for you on that. More details coming up. But Derm, welcome to you. And we'll talk a lot about the Tigers this morning. So I want you to start with West Coast. They're second on the ladder. As I said in the intro, they've got the weapons. They've got a fantastic system which they're implementing.
How far can they go?
Yeah, look, they're still a little bit off the top three, what we all consider to be the big three. The one thing I was wrapped for them last night, seeing them away from Domain Stadium, which is a desperately narrow ground, whether they could employ this same strategy which they set up behind the footy, whether they could employ that on a big wide ground like the MCG and be fruitful. And the fact that they force the opposition to kick the ball where they don't really want to kick it, they take 23, 24 intercept marks from McGovern, Hearn, Elliot Yeohan, and Sharad Wellingham, because he reads the ball fairly well, he's been reborn as a halfback flanker. They're good.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that shortly. We'll take calls as we always do. Let's get to the boys in Melbourne, Mark Robinson and David King. And I guess, boys, as disappointing as last night was, it's a bright and breezy morning for Tiger fans knowing that Alex Rance has re-signed. Not so for Tigers if you play golf, of course, but good news for the Tigers, Robbo, with Alex Rance. How significant is the signing?
Oh, very significant. You know, Kingy sitting with us. Kingy wrote 12 weeks ago, 10 weeks ago, that he was certainly on Brisbane's radar, and they were going off, though. Well, they were offering 5 years. He signed this morning for 4. Let's estimate 7s. He's probably on about 320, 350 this year. Wasn't in the top 10. Now he'd be close to the highest paid player. Jack might be around that. Jack signed, I think, 5-year deal just after he won a couple of Colemans, so that puts him in that range. But we saw last night how important Rance is. We know how difficult it is to find key backmen. So, yes, it's good news. He's not backpacking or door knocking as a Jehovah Witness or backpacking about around Europe. He's going to stay.
5 years might have been what he didn't want.
In what regard? Too long, you think?
Well, these words, Robbo, and these stories, that it's not the be-all and end-all in life to him. So to tie himself down for 5 years when he's talking about there are other things in his life, perhaps 5 years was a bit too... Oh, gee, do I really want to be playing for 5 years?
Four's a decent spell.
It's still a decent whack, but I'll take the 4, and that can guarantee me a livelihood or an income and a base for the rest of my life. But 5 might be just a bit much.
I was always thinking to myself, I didn't say it because I wasn't going to disrespect anyone, but, you know, Europe's going to stay there. Europe's not moving, and you're not going to get $700,000 a year for too long in your life, so you've got to make hay while the sun shines.
I think, as I understand it, well, certainly for, I think from Richardson's point of view, and we'll speak to Dan Richardson on this, I don't think, had major issues with the money. Whatever the money was worked out reasonably quickly. But it was that time out, the travel or that he was considering. But right now he believes his heart and head is at Tigerland, and he's going to stay. And he's a very driven young man. So for all the fact that he wants to get away from it, he's actually really a driven player. So, Kingy, your thoughts on this? Because you talked about the lure to Brisbane with his great mate Justin Lepich. But in the end, he's a quality player and Richmond desperately need him.
It would have set Richmond back 5 years had they lost Alex Rance. There is no logical replacement centre-half back, and why would there be? He's an All-Australian centre-half back. They're hard to find. 25 years of age, he's played over 100 and almost 120 games. It's the perfect profile to walk into a club fresh if you can steal him out of Richmond. They couldn't do that, Brisbane, and it's a huge loss for Brisbane. I think they're being missed here. They're just highlighting how hard it is to get players to go north, how hard it is to lure players from their club, and what that'll do to our comp going forward is another discussion. But it's a massive signing for Richmond, and I'm rapt for them because this club has taken some big steps this year. Not so much last night, and we'll talk about that soon, but without Rance's signature, it would all be a waste.
Well, let's talk about last night, because we will talk more about Rance shortly with Dan Richardson. Was it an off night, or does it show deeper issues?
Well, we were talking about it a moment ago. I'm not sure there's deeper issues. The one thing that always comes back to me is that they just seem to lack that killer instinct, Richmond. When the game's being played the way they want it to be played, they're very dangerous. But as soon as it goes outside of that, it's only ever Dustin Martin that really alters the course of play, but genuinely alters the course of a game.
And Damien said it last night, didn't he, that he single-handedly kept them in the game in the first half.
But that's a different aspect to intent. I thought their intent was, after the first 7 or 8 minutes, so I thought their intent was pretty good. Their tackles were up. The pressure was... They actually put it on a stack of pressure. I thought the intent was really good, and so it's slightly different to what you're saying. You're talking about a game breaker, a game changer. They just lacked anyone who stood up and said, yeah, I'm going to give you some X factor here, and we'll take it away from them.
A wild card play, you know, something with some physicality to them. When the game slides, it does slide for 8 minutes, and that's the problem. There's never a recognised moment, and usually it's a big defensive action, a big tackle, a big bump, a big hit. Something from a leader that really shakes the game. Ivan normally does that, but he was that concerned about Nick Nat. He really didn't get his game going.
He couldn't get in. They had a couple actually. West Coast had a couple of game changes last night. Of course, Nat Nui was one. Yao has been talked up very highly, and people who haven't seen him would have watched him last night, and I reckon some people would have said, "God, this kid can play, or this young fella can play." He's just got.
Who did you say, Robert?
Yo. What did I say? Yeah.
I thought you said gal.
Yeah, no, I didn't say. I did think of yowing. Yo.
Yowly.
I didn't say gal.
Sorry. Go on.
Yo.
I think you said gout. It's not back again.
he's very, very, very good player. McGovern at the back was. I tell you what. This All Australian defensive group is getting a bit busy. Dermot, Kingy, and Hutto. There's McGovern. There's McDonald, there's Hurley, and there's Rance.
I interviewed for Foxtel last night after the game. I interviewed McGovern. He's seriously big. Mm. He is real big.
I didn't see that. Is he? How big? How taller is he than you?
He's got maybe
chicken legs.
Three to 4 inches. He's
3 to 4 inches.
He's 6'4". Yeah.
And he's wide. He's about 3 foot wide.
He is wide. He's an old-fashioned looking footballer.
He looks like a bloke who could have been playing in the ruck down at Currumburra. Yeah. You know,
he's, he does.
There's not a lot of definition to him. But,
yeah, mate.
And you reckon after the game, he'd have got out of the cold showers, put his footy socks back on, and he'd probably lean on the bar for a couple before he drove the ute home.
Yeah. I wanna. You're talking about the
he's
aggression.
A ripper, though, isn't
I think
he?
That was his super. I think that was his pre-season a year ago.
It was.
He'd come back as fat as a house. They sent him away. They said, "You're not training with us. You're not meeting the standards. Away you go." And he got himself fit. Had a fantastic last half of 2014.
Well, isn't that great? That's great by a football club. You don't just discard someone because they're a bit heavy. You go and fix yourself, come back.
Very heavy.
I tell you what, he wasn't committed.
It's still in there. Yeah, while we were waiting for the camera to get set up, I guarantee the conversation went, yeah, g'day, Derm, how are you? You going to go out for a couple tonight? No, I don't think I will. I've got an early flight to Sydney tomorrow. Oh, okay.
He's actually telling the same stories about you that you're saying.
He is a ripper, though. And what he can do, he can read the ball in flight like very few others I've seen. He actually picks up and identifies where the ball is going. I don't know whether he reads the... you know, they say great tennis players can see the club head of the racket, where it's going to on the court. I don't know whether he can actually pick the direction as it absolutely is leaving the boot, but he gets to that ball.
Is that just instinctive, Derm?
It could be. I don't know because I haven't played behind the footy. But Derm, I would imagine it is just, it has to be something that you're born with. I don't think you can cultivate
there's
that.
There's no doubt about that. And can I give you examples? What he's able to do is, in a pack of three or four, it's not always, but it's mostly him who gets to the fall. And there's only sometimes, what, a half a foot separating hands?
Yeah.
More often than not, he's on the end of it. So that's better than instinct. He just knows. I agree with you. He was born with it. He
you just get
gets
the feeling
to
though,
the
when
end
he,
of it.
You really believe when the ball's going forward. And if you're looking at it from a, you know, wanting to get more of a game out of it, so you're hoping Richmond gets a grab in the forward half of the ground. If he's, no matter who it was, Griffiths, Vickery, Revolt, even if Marich floated down there, if the ball went into his vicinity and any one of those Richmond players were there, you kind of said, oh, no, McGovern's there. And you know what? He wins it.
Yeah.
He beats them all.
He probably dropped five extra marks last night, too.
You leave the game last night, or you leave Fox last night, and I'm sitting there thinking, how can you not rate the West Coast? They've got clearly the best ruckman in the competition. They've got the guys leading the Coleman at centre-half forward. They've got the reigning Brownlow medalist in the middle. And they've got this guy at centre-half back, McGovern, who's, in my opinion, a lock for centre-half back in the All-Australian team. Because he wins it, he wins the ball back. He doesn't defend. He actually wins the ball back.
It's one of the great stories of the year, Kingy, is how they've adapted to losing. Who other team ever has lost two key defensive posts and been able to, survive? Not just thrive and actually, help them become a better team in a way.
Without having to drastically change the way they play. They haven't gone and invested in the cluster or something like what Alistair Clarkson did to protect the back six he thought was unders, if you like. Mm. I think it's been a fantastic coaching performance for one.
Yeah. He's not getting all that carried away, Simo, is he?
He smiled once last night, he's disappointed with today.
Yeah. I don't think he'd smile on his wedding night, did he?
No, he still has this is a bit of a frustration with me with Simo, because that is not him.
No, I know. He was in charge of the chicken, mate.
Don't bring up Boris the chicken. He doesn't like that. Really cost
Please him. Explain.
No, don't.
It's a story gone by that one.
Remember the story.
Yeah, how can you remember?
We will. The rubber ask chicken. You later.
The rubber chicken. It was widely publicised.
Yeah. But okay, Kingy, how far can they go then? You've talked them up in every part of the ground there. So what's missing? What's to stop them? They're top two at the moment. They could. The way the season is, that there's clearly. Four places that are open. For if you say Freo, Sydney, Hawthorn, there's clearly another one in there. Is anything to stop them from getting a double chance and contending for the flag?
I think it's just trust, isn't it? I mean, it's just you just want to see it for longer, maybe. I'm not sure. There's no logical reason why they can't, because you look at the Champion Data talk to us every year about the profile of a premiership team and what's happened the last 15 years of football. They all generally average over 100 points per game, which is what they do virtually. It's only them and Hawthorn that do that at the moment, as Durham keeps telling us. And defensively, Durham, they're well sorted as well. They've got a great back six that really can put the clamps on, despite the fact they play a high speed game.
They play a total team defence when the opposition has the ball. I was chatting to them. Adrian Hickmont is the defensive coordinator there, and he, I tell you what. If you're Carlton, you could do a lot worse than actually go and interview him. He's been in the system a long time. He's a hard nut, and he has got that organisation, that back half of the ground, as good as any team. Well, we've spoken already ad nauseum about how much they've lost, and yet they've lost nothing on the points against for themselves. So they're defending brilliantly.
I've got a thought, and I really want you players to talk to me about it. I'm going to bring in Hawthorn from Thursday night. I'm going to bring in their aggression, intimidation, dirty tactics, whatever you want to call it. Has West Coast got the aggression, Dermy and Kingy? Have they got the right amount of aggression to go through the second semis, the preliminary finals, the grand finals? Have they got it?
I think it's more a point at their stage of standing up to it, against it. I don't think you have to dish it out that much. But if you're playing, if the Eagles are at home in a final, they don't really have to give out that much aggression. It's a daunting task to travel over.
Can Natanui be roughed up? I mean, he almost can't, can he?
It's not really a matter of roughing him. Do you honestly think that affects these players too much?
Yes, it does. I'll tell you why. Because we laud Hawthorn for their aggression and intimidation.
It's part of the package of being
that
a good
team. Hawthorn. That is. Mate, there's not many grand
premiership contenders are tough generally.
Generally, they are. Now I look at West Coast and I'd say, geez, they've got some really good players. Will Maston, Will Gaff, go four games or three games through the finals to get them premiership? Now they're on ballers. Now they're going to be crunched, and I don't see them get crunched at the moment. They're going to get. going after. Can Yeo stand up to that? We know the Prentice will go down. Xavier
Yeo is one of them who will, you could hit him with a sledgehammer, mate. He's jumping back up.
Taking a backward step, I don't reckon.
We've seen Xavier Ellis. I mean, have they got enough aggression, toughness around the ball when they go up against the Sydney and when they go up against the Hawthorn? We see it at preliminary finals, guys. Every ball's like a gang fight.
Yeah. I don't think we can really answer that until we see it.
So that's what I'm saying. Have they got it?
I don't know the answer. That's a good question. But we've seen, I think the answer in one way is that we've seen Shuey and Gaff tagged out of games totally. In recent seasons, and that's a concern.
But that's not happening now, is it? Well, not with Gaff anyway.
No one's putting time into Gaff. Why are they? And this is a discussion that's worth having because he's had five games in a row of 30 plus.
Because they're looking at Maston as well now.
Exactly.
I tell you one thing, just to re-step, and we won't have time to go into it. I am dead set, even though my team I love and have been with for years does it, and they're good at it. I am dead set all four. Fining, automatic fine for anyone who steps out of their way to jump a punch in the stomach, the back, the side, thrust an elbow into somebody else. To me, that's just snide. It's not intimidation. If you want to intimidate somebody, tackle them and crush their rib cage. Don't go up and elbow them in the guts and don't punch them.
Do you think Hawthorn stepped over the mark on Thursday night?
No, because the rules permit. It's funny enough, the rules aren't written that way, but the way we adjudicate it, we allow it to happen. We turn a blind eye to it. We shouldn't.
No one should have the right to do that. What's it worth, a jumper punch? How much?
Fine them. Just make it the standard fine, $1,000, $1,500, whatever. And if you get those three footballing year, well, take a week off.
Well, I think that's roughly the case, isn't it?
Yeah, but fine actually, every one
yeah,
of them.
Okay.
Every deliberate jumper punch, whether it'd knock your head off or whether it wouldn't take the top off a rice custard. Don't care how soft, how hard. If it's a deliberate punch to the guts, fine them.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with Dan Richardson to get some more details on Alex Rance. Later, Trent Cotson to join us. Take your calls. I want to talk about the umpiring as well, those two areas of contention at the moment, the third up and the other one, of course.
Love sucking.
Is the ducking, yes. And the way these new rules are being interpreted and how they're being executed out there on the ground. This is Crunch Time with thanks to Ringwood Mazda. When it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal.